Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Keith Colston, Director of the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, and Keith is here to talk to us about American Indian Heritage Month, which is the whole month of November. So, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be back and share some great information with you and all your listeners.
Yes, well, I looked on my little calendar record, and it's been a year. So for those of our listeners who did not hear the show a year ago, and I assume that if you want to, that show is still up on our website. Could you tell us, please, Keith, a little bit about the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs?
Sure. The Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs was established in 1976 as a sole commission all to its own. It was put in place to establish, develop, and oversee a process for American Indians to become state recognized, the Maryland Indian status process. So for most tribes or most areas throughout the United States, it's called state recognition. Not only that, but also to answer to many of the other issues that were taking place from education, economics, health. Those main things that occur with, society and places of society all over the country. And so therefore put in place where it represented the tribal people. First it represented tribal people as far as governor-appointed individuals. Mm-hmm. As it went on, and jumping a couple of years here, a couple of decades, 2005, it was established and put back in place, really, after some situations that occurred, that the majority of those commissioners would be representatives of the indigenous tribes of Maryland. And I think that's a key point to make about that change in 2005. Since then, rolling, that's exactly what we've been doing, is rolling and progressing and producing great things, from legislation to initiatives, as well as tangible, situations that you can see, feel, and comment on. So it's not about just discussing the issues. I'm a person who loves being very balanced. Not about just the issues. Let's discuss the achievements and what we are accomplishing as well.
Yeah, and what needs to be done.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I agree.
We're here for trying to do something positive.
The greatest thing to do is to serve.
Amen. How can someone find out more information about the commission?
Well, first of all, you can always contact us through our media sites on Facebook, also on Twitter, Governor's Office of Community Initiatives. We've also got AmericanIndians.org, as well as just checking us out and punching in the letters MC, Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, or MCIA. So there's various ways to contact us. You can always contact me at 443-742-7777. That's a direct line for me, as I love sharing that information. So again, you can contact me anytime. With our jobs, that 9-to-5 idea for directors who serve our ethnic commissions, who I help supervise, it's really 24/7. Think about what you can do, what you've done, and what you can make better, what you can make more efficient, that will again provide a better situation for our constituents, our clients, those individuals that we call Marylanders.
Yeah, and thank you. And Maryland really is to be praised in the establishment of the Commission on Indian Affairs. I know Maryland is the only state in the country that has a Department of Disabilities.
Agreed. And we're continuously working on things that, whether it's making things more efficient or creating those new initiatives that will lead, again, to better situations for the people that are in need, for those individuals who are at certain levels of society that, again, we can assist in any kind of way possible. The great thing about, what the Maryland Commission of Indians has done under the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives, under Executive Director Stephen McAdams, the Lieutenant Governor, of course, Governor Hogan, is that we've been able to be there when the need, or when we are made aware of certain situations. Mm-hmm. We just got through celebrating the volunteerism in the state of Maryland, and there were 20,000 since day one of this administration. Over 20,000 volunteers have been recognized for what they've done.
That's wonderful.
It is, and that's what our commissioners are. Our commissioners are volunteers. They don't get paid to do what they do, but they are governor appointed, and not only that, they're there to represent the governor and what we do, but also to help represent the needs and the situations, the issues, as well as the achievements and what our tribal communities are doing. And so to know that they do that, and they do that in on a volunteer basis, is just an incredible thing. So I always tip my hat off to our commissioners, because it's a we situation. You know, a lot of times people say I or me, and really it's a we situation when it comes to MCIA, the commissioners, the administrative staff, and the tribal communities all working together to move things forward.
Right, right. And your job as director is to make sure everything works. Could you tell us a little bit about your background too?
Well, my background, I'm Tuscarora and Lumbee. I'm an enrolled member of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina. I came up here in 1994. For the past 12 years, I've served as the administrative director for the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, and then given the opportunity and the responsibility of serving as the director for the ethnic commissions under the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives. These responsibilities are from an administrative point of view, but yet also to be a voice, to be also a representative for the governor, first and foremost, when he needs me to be there, when he can't be there physically. And I think that's a great thing about this administration is that, you know, so many of us recognize that, you know, we're here for a limited time, and with that time that we have, to make the most of it. So again, to be representatives of Governor Hogan. As well as to be a representative of Indian people, of indigenous people of this country, of North America, or what we call, from a traditional standpoint, Turtle Island. And to be able to represent and to be there and to serve in such a manner, it really is a humbling situation. At the same time, it's still a responsibility. And so if we refer to ourselves, or people refer to ourselves as leaders, you know, we have to understand exactly what that means. And that is, it's not about us. It's about the people that we're there to either assist, lead, or to support in whatever capacity that we can.
Thank you. How many American Indians are there in Maryland, and where are they located?
There's about 23,000 that identify as American Indian only, and that's from the 2010 census, which, of course, will segue into another conversation. And then there are, of course, about 58,000 Native Americans, or should I say individuals who are represent themselves as American Indian or other. I think that's very important that we can look through those numbers, and through the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, they assisted us in making that distinction between the two. Mm-hmm. I would say that it's always a great thing to be of knowing who you are, what makes you who you are, and to be proud of what that is, whether you're of one single ethnicity or multiple, but to always know who you are. And that's one of the great things about the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs as well, is that to support the cultural identity of our indigenous peoples and those who have a connection somehow, some way through blood or some other type of connection to support that and to bring it to life and to expound on it. And that way, a sense of pride and self-esteem continues to not only be in place, but continues to grow as well. And that's why it's really important that we had the 2019 American Indian Heritage Month kickoff, which actually will be taking place at Montgomery College at the Rockville campus, as well as providing information throughout the month and leading into 2020 for the 2020 census.
Could you give us a little history of the month and nationally and in Maryland?
Sure. As far as on a national level, you know, American Indian Heritage Month was talked about, you know, back in the early 1920s by an individual who was Seneca. And then from one state to the next, you know, there's always been a desire to represent the contributions, the achievements, the historical accounts, and also what we've strived to overcome as well, as far as Indian people, as far as those who are federally recognized, state recognized, and who self-identify as being Indian, Native American. Mm-hmm. And as I always like to say, all those great terms that they continue to place us under until they can recognize every tribal name that exists.
Yeah, and I know that, and we've talked before about why you prefer American Indian, because Native American really includes a lot of other folks.
That is true. I mean, technically, if you're born in the Americas, you can be, you know, you can technically be called a Native American.
Right.
And so terminology
including you and me.
Right. And terminology is always going to be important, because words, when filled with meaning, whether it's negative or positive, they do have power. And we have to realize that, you know, to be correct or appropriate in the words that are used, depending upon the, you know, on the conversation or what we're discussing, it is important. And that's why when you think about our tribal names and our tribal terms, that they are to be used correctly, like with any other group of individuals around the world. And so when we say American right. Indian, you know, we use that a lot, quite a bit here in the state of Maryland, because a lot of the legislation and usage of those words are historically used. So that's why we use American Indian, whereas much of the country may use Native American or Indian. And it's acceptable for various reasons, depending upon the situations. Mm-hmm. For me, I always like to be known, as far as my tribes are concerned, Tuscarora, Lumbee. I like to be known from my band, clan, or society, which we, of course, follow a band situation. I mean, a clan system. So I'm Turtle Clan. Those are the kind of uniquenesses from one tribe to the next that is really brought out daily when you come across or when you meet a Native American, American Indian, an indigenous person. And then with the month of November, you know, we have an entire month to really put a spotlight.
Yeah, what's going to go on?
Well, as far as our kickoff is concerned, when you make your way, we have to Montgomery College. We have a panel discussion that will be themed Tribal Leaders Making a Path in Today's World. And what that is about is that we have tribal leaders on various levels. We have those who are our leaders at our nonprofit organizations that are run by tribal people. Uh-huh. We have our tribal chairs who are responsible for the care of their individuals in their community. And we have our tribal chiefs, those individuals who are referred to as chiefs and have the responsibility of taking care of the needs of their people, not just a community, but perhaps their people at a mm-hmm. in large. So you're referring to the Piscataway Indian Nation, the Piscataway Kanoi Tribe, the Nasuwaywash, the Akahonic, even the concentration of Lumbees that live right here in the Baltimore metropolitan area. So we all have those leaders that are in various places and levels. And what we want to talk about on that day is, what have you done that has led and made a great path, an easier path for our future generations, or for those, you know, next year, in the next 5 years, right. that is working, and that the other leaders may have not done that, or maybe you share a commonality there that we can either improve or create for others.
Sounds like a productive day. How can somebody, is it free and can you register?
You can register. You can register at conta.cctq, and then, of course, some other numbers here. We're going to make sure we provide that information to you. But you can also
contact
me directly. Okay. You can also contact Montgomery College. They have individuals there who are, again, promoting the event. So, again, you can register. It is open to the public. And then 6:30 to 9 o'clock will be the awards ceremony. We'll talk about youth of the year from each of our tribal communities, adult of the year from our tribal communities, and we also have something special this year recognizing a volunteer of the year. So right. It's going to be an incredible night. It's going to be a night where people dress up, feel good, represent yourself in a cultural manner, and at the same time, come and meet the people themselves. And I think that's really important that in any situation that we have, that you're able to meet the people.
Very true. Very true. Not just social media.
No, not just social media. But
it has to be people.
Yeah, you know that physical being in front of each other physically.
Yeah.
To be able to again share something great. And once again, it's a ceremonial situation, so it's all about positivity.
Great. Yeah, it certainly sounds it. In the final minute of the show, Keith, could you tell us a little bit about other things that will be going on during the month?
During the month, you all have a variety of federal, state, and other agencies, other entities that will be continuously celebrating American Indian Heritage Month or National Native American Heritage and Alaskan Native Heritage Month. So this will take place throughout the state of Maryland. We're looking forward to supporting those situations, whether it be in the tribal communities or in mainstream society. Well, we've got quite a few places like Jefferson Patterson Park, a museum that will be doing some things. And so we're there to be a supportive partner in what we can, whether it's us speaking, whether it's us, you know, representing or providing them with information. And that's really what we are from a day-to-day situation. We are a place of resource where we provide these resources and information to those who aren't aware or that where we can assist them in taking more advantage of it.
Well, you folks are doing a great job, and I can attest to that because I've been working with you for years.
It's always been a pleasure.
You are a public servant who believes in what you're doing, and you do make a difference, and we do thank you.
I appreciate that, sir.
Unfortunately, though, that's all we have time for. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. You can reach us at the Governor's Office Community Initiatives. You can also reach us at AmericanIndians.org. You can also reach me at 443 443- 7427777 directly concerning our 2019 American Indian Heritage Month kickoff celebration at Montgomery College.
And on the web?
On the web, you can register for the event at conta.cc2Q0QXWA.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Keith Colston, who is director of the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, for being our guest today. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Yes, sir.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.